Hello, listeners. Today is Wednesday, September 14th. Welcome to Behind the Numbers, Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast made possible by Akinio. This is the show where we talk about how retail collides with every part of our lives. I'm your host, Sarah Lebo. Today's topic, customer experience. But first, let's introduce our guests. My first guest today is Retail Podcast regular, Principal Analyst Susie David Canyon. Welcome back, Susie.
Thanks for having me.
And also joining us today for the first time on the Retail Pod is Principal Analyst Patty Soltis. Thanks for being here, Patty.
So nice to be here with you.
My behind the scenes here is that I told Patty I'd mess up her name, and then I did. It's Patty Soltis. We're going to get started with our first segment, which is called News and Reviews, where I give you the news and our guests tell me their reviews. Today's headline is a September 1st story from CNN Business titled, Starbucks Names New CEO. Laxman Narasimhan will be the company's new CEO. He comes from a consumer product goods background and joined Starbucks amid unionization waves. According to former CEO Howard Schultz, the Starbucks business, as it is built today, is not set up to fully satisfy the evolving behaviors, needs, and expectations of our partners or consumers. It is not designed for the future we aspire to for ourselves and the communities in which we serve. Schultz is all in on Narasimhan to solve these unnamed issues. So, Susie, your review of this headline on Starbucks' new CEO in 60 seconds is...
So I think it's fascinating that they picked someone from CPG and not another quick service restaurant or another more traditional retailer since, you know, traditionally CPGs don't sell direct to consumer traditionally before COVID. I wonder if that's because they're going to try and intensify their merchandising strategy and try and sell more through other distribution channels and not just at the Starbucks. From a unionization and from sort of what Schultz was hinting at in terms of like there's a lot happening and they need a different person to come in, I think it's kind of normal, right? When things are not 100%, it's so much easier to not promote from within to signal culture change. And when you bring in someone new, that really helps the market. And more importantly, your employees see that there is going to be a potential shift. And so hopefully that will alleviate some of the tensions that Starbucks is feeling.
Great point, Susie. Patty, your review of this headline in 60 seconds is...
You know, I had some of the same thoughts as Susie, and I was a little curious why they didn't bring somebody in that was from a little bit more of a similar background. But then I looked at his background a little bit, and he has a reputation as a servant leader and pretty much being portrayed as a regular person. So I was seeing some of the kind of cultural shifts as well that Susie was talking about with this. And from a customer experience perspective, there's a lot of things that Starbucks has done right. And they've pioneered the ordering process, loyalty, voice of the customer, and more. They've built a lot of retention and certainly have increased acquisition over time. But now they've got this big hurdle and they're getting quite a big bit of negative press out there. Mm-hmm. And on something that matters a lot to the Gen Zers, and the Gen Zers are the first generation to grow up with Starbucks. So the stakes are pretty high for them right now.
Did millennials not grow up with Starbucks? Did I not grow up with Starbucks?
I don't know.
I don't know if I did either because I wasn't a coffee drinker until adulthood. What,
Starbucks has been around since maybe? I don't know. It's because it's that right. 20, what, isn't 25 the break?
I could go either way on this. Great point.
It's though. A 1971, founded in 1971, thanks to Google. Oh. But you know what it could be though, Patty? It's that the millennials didn't pay $10 for coffee and it wasn't acceptable when they were in their teens. Whereas now it seems like who cares? It's like a reward.
In those Gen Zers, I mean, they've been going to Starbucks since they were little tiny tots.
Yeah.
And I don't think necessarily that the millennials did as much. I think they probably started in their tween years, but I mean, literally Gen Zers grew up with it, just like they're growing up with smartphones. Like
technically 71 would make me a potential Starbucks generation person too.
Me too, technically.
Okay, we can save Starbucks for a future episode and determine which ones of us grew up with Starbucks. All right, now it's time for our next segment. Retail Me This, Retail Me That, where we discuss an interesting retail topic. Today's topic is how to improve and measure customer experience. I know a lot about this topic as a consumer and very little about this topic as an analyst, which is why I brought Susie and Patty on. Last week was Labor Day in the US, a holiday that's not just the unofficial end of summer, cue sad noise here, but also the celebration of workers and workers' rights. It's important for people to be treated as human beings, but also investing in employee wellness quite literally improves retail outcomes. Patty, last week you said to me, happy employees lead to happy customers. Can you elaborate on how employee experience impacts consumer experience?
Yeah, but I'm going to start with first and just say happy employees also generate more revenue and cost a lot less money. So there's an internal connection between all employees and the experience that a customer has. And happy employees want to deliver more, they want to do more, and they have a higher commitment to the customer experience. Now, the frontline employees are going to have the biggest impact on this piece of it. It's especially in the customer service realm, which is a component of the customer experience. And especially since we're talking retail, I'm going to kind of hone in on that piece of it right there and just say that stores that have engaged employees, they have better skills, they have higher sales per hour. And those two things right there, that it lowers selling cost. And since human resources is the largest line on a P&L, that's pretty significant and has a pretty large impact. In addition, when you have happy customers and you create happy employees, it creates higher cross-sell, higher average unit sale, higher items per transaction, returns go down and turnover goes down. So there's a big tie inside of this. And I can tell you, I spent a lot of years running stores, and this was something that we did really intentionally, from employee discussion groups to daily conversations to our communications that we brought in. And it was all focused on the employee and then focused on the customer. So it really brought those two pieces in together. And the result was we saw consistent results in customer experience and certainly saw higher results in our sell-throughs and in our gross margins.
And Sarah, I don't think this is new, right? It's always been important for an employee, whether it's a storefront, store line employee, or whether it's any employee at any company, to be happy, to feel connected to their company, to feel some sort of engagement so that they feel a sense of responsibility that's a little bit higher than if they're not at all engaged. But it is definitely much more part of the vernacular now. And we are talking about a lot more, which is how we're getting to these unionization conversations. And it's not just, so this is the thing that I think retailers forget. It's not just about money and increasing hourly wages, although we're seeing that happening. We were talking about this before. It's everything from, and Patty, you made a great point. I don't think people realize it's everything from having the right pencils and staplers and enough, you know, receipt tape at the point of sale area cash wrap to make it easy and less friction for the employee. But also groups like Home Depot are starting to increase technology and give every employee some sort of iPad or a telephone or some sort of some connected technology to make their experience easier so that they can help the customer with less friction.
Yeah, I was going to touch on that, how to improve employee experience. I feel like we have the basics, paid sick leave, keeping employees safe, sort of the things that you might hope to expect, although might not necessarily be getting at some large retailers or fast food establishments. But also those like day-to-day things, like you said, making sure that you have the supplies you need to deliver the day-to-day workflows that employees rely on.
And Sarah, you said something really important there. You said safety, and there's a different kind of safety that doesn't get a lot of conversation, and that's psychological safety. And that's the safety that an employee feels in their job. And it's all the things that we've already talked about, but it's also them feeling value. It's also them feeling a purpose and them feeling a commitment.
It is also important. It kind of dovetails with what you just said in terms of employees need to feel like they're being heard, and that whatever expectations they have, that you're either meeting them or you're explaining to them why you can't meet them. And I think, you know, we talk a lot about great resignation and is that really a thing and where are all those employees going? But as we talk more and more about shortages and in retail, we're going into the heavy, heavy holiday season where there are all these seasonal employees that get hired, thinking about what you're going to do to make your employees happier who are temporary is critical right now. And there was an example of a UK retailer who was doing free meals for staff to try and get more folks to apply and to be a salesperson at their retail operation.
Do staff really respond better to free meals than to just getting that little extra pay boost?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's really a very, very big thing. Giving people food, that is probably the most exciting thing that you can do for anyone, is giving them food. Whether you have breakfast for them when they walk in through the employee entrance, you're serving them lunch, you're sending them home with something. I mean, that is a big thing.
But, you know, Sarah, Lowe's just talked about giving $55 million in incremental bonuses to its frontline workers to offset inflation. So not every retailer can increase hourly wages or give people some sort of inflation bonus in terms of like an ongoing pay increase. But these spot bonuses are, I think, another way of helping.
Without getting too off track, does Lowe's do something like that to improve employee experience and therefore customer outcomes? Or do they do that mainly for the good press?
I think that that's something that they do because then they can give their employees a bump without giving them a wage increase. So it's a one-time hit to the bottom line. And that way they are taking care of their employees without creating a long-term expense.
That makes sense. I would love to talk about this for longer. I do want to get into the second half of this conversation, though, which is customer experience. We're talking about employee experience through the lens of customer experience. Employee experience improves customer experience and improves, as you said, Patty, revenues. What is the best way to evaluate customer experience? Is it surveys? Is it reviews? What should employers be looking at?
I would say the best way to look at it is what's happening with your growth and your revenue. And that's what the smartest CX leaders do, is they're looking at that piece of it. There's a lot of other indicators out there. You can look at retention. You can look at advocacy. You can look at acquisition. You can look at churn. You can look at all those pieces. The most popular one is Net Promoter Score. I'm not saying it's the best one. I'm just saying it's the most popular.
Can you, for people who might not be familiar or who are familiar, give a quick refresher on what a Net Promoter Score or NPS score is?
Sure. The Net Promoter Score is that question that's on a survey that asks, how likely are you to recommend my product, service, or company to another person? And this recommendation is a really big thing because customers are paying a lot more attention to reviews, referrals, and recommendations when they are making purchases and deciding where to spend their money. It's something that can very easily be gamified, though. I wrote a report on this a couple months ago, but it's something that a lot of times you hear somebody say, oh, hey, you know what? If you really like us, can you give us a high score on this? And you hear it, like you hear it at auto dealerships all the time. I saw a sign posted in an airport by an airline, and they were asking them to give them a high score. So that's just one of the ways it can be gamified, but there's a whole bunch. Read my report.
You can read Patty's report on insiderintelligence.com if you're a subscriber. Susie, what were you going to add?
So I was going to, you know, I think one of the most important things is to be able to piece together the employee experience with a customer experience. Again, like Patty said, and you said it up front, a happy employee makes for a better and hopefully a great customer experience. The feedback loop is important. So listening to what your employees are saying and acting on them when you can is important, but it's also important. The feedback loop from customers is important. So whether that's reviews, whether that's social listening on Instagram, I mean, there are some great companies that do that, but also when you go to the bathroom and there's that happy face, sad face, you know, anytime you're offered the chance to give feedback. And as a retailer, if you're asking for the feedback, don't expect consumers to keep giving you feedback if you don't actually act against it. So I would say listening to all of these different mechanisms, including NPS scores. But again, it's not just asking how likely are you to recommend, but then it's the follow-up questions to help make a difference.
Sure. And something else that we talked about briefly, the three of us last week, were reviews, leaving reviews. Similar question to the one I asked about Lowe's earlier. You're leaving reviews to give feedback. This went well. This didn't go well. This is how you could improve. But they're also specifically used as PR for companies, retailers. If I'm looking on Google Maps or on Yelp for somewhere to shop and I see those two stars, I'm not going there. Are reviews an effective form of customer feedback?
More and more customers are looking at reviews. And so they are a very effective form of feedback. And it's important for companies to be looking at the reviews that they're seeing on Google, Yahoo, Yelp, social media, communication that's coming in via email, anything like that is really important. And the biggest thing that they need to do is what's called close the loop. And that's where they need to address the feedback that the customer is given. Susie's absolutely right when she says that it is the company's responsibility to respond to that. And that's the biggest reason why people stop responding to surveys is because they feel like nobody's listening.
Well, and I think it's effective as a mechanism for companies if they listen and act against, right? But to leave a review, just to leave a review, is probably more impactful for the next customer who's thinking about making that purchase or going to that restaurant. And now, I don't know if you've noticed, because there are companies that just do like help recycle and put out reviews. But now it even says like, this person actually bought this product or visited this store on this day, so that you feel like it's much more authentic than someone who's randomly just trying to make money by doing reviews.
Sure. All right. Well, thanks for joining me for this first half of the conversation. We've talked through how to improve employee experience and how to measure consumer happiness. We're going to dive into some specific examples, but first, a quick word from our sponsor, Akinio. Great customer experiences start with great product experiences. With Akinio, you can give customers both. By putting all your product information in one place, creating engaging stories, and ensuring that those stories are consistent across every touch point, Akinio makes it possible so you can get to market faster, turn browsers into buyers, and drive revenue at every step of the buyer journey. Learn more at akinio.com. That's A-K-E-N-E-O.com. Welcome back from the break. Now it's time for pop-up rankings, where we take a look at specific examples and we rank them. This week, Susie and Patty will share an example of a top-time retail leadership directly impacted their customer experience, and one time that could have been improved. Susie, I'm going to let you go first. Do you want to start with your good experience or your bad experience?
I'm going to start, well, they're kind of intermixed because it's with the same person. So I guess I'll start with the bad because that happened first.
The one that needs work, sorry. The one that is an opportunity for improvement.
Correct. Although I gave this a lot of thought and I don't know how to solve for this. But anyway, so I got a new phone, and much to the dismay of all of my friends and family, it is not an iPhone. I have stuck to the Galaxy. And I went to the provider because it was time. So I went to the provider to go and get it, to see which one I wanted and to buy it. And they had nothing. They had no inventory. And when I was there, I was like, okay, well, what am I supposed to do? She gave me their phone and said, call the call center and set up your new, like, tell them what you want and start your activation process. And I was thinking, I could have done that in my house. So I'm not really sure why I walk 30 blocks to come to the one and only store to then leave super disappointed. And so I would say, as a customer, I'm not sure how you could have let me know that there was no inventory at the store. I don't even know if there was no inventory at the store because of supply chain problems, or if it's just meant to be like an experience store, which I know we're telling retailers you need to be part of that, but it is very disappointing as a customer when you come in with the intention of purchasing something that you leave empty-handed.
Did they have the phones on display at the store? You just couldn't walk out with one?
Correct. They had the phones on display. They were so lovely and so unhelpful at the same time. So it's not like someone walked me around to tell me like, oh, try this or try that. I was like, I'm coming in. I have a Samsung. I want a Samsung. And he just pointed me in the direction of the newest one. And I was like, that one's too expensive monthly. So what's next? And then because now they have the flip phones, which I didn't want those flip phones. So then he showed me the next one in line, which I was like, perfect. This is exactly what I want. And that was kind of the end of the interaction with the person in the store. So very, so sweet. They were so sweet, but just not helpful.
Okay. And then you were expected to make the phone call yourself rather than someone.
They did give me their phone, though, to make the call. But so I could have done that at home. But then how they turned it around, which this too I would not advise to retailers in the end. I am like stuck in a contract with them. I have gotten my phone. They have tried to call me a couple of times to help me activate it. Finally, someone is helping me activate it. It took way longer than it should have. Way, way longer than it should have, because they wanted me to have a new number. And I was like, who has a new number? In 2022, like, just let me keep my old number. But anyways, I digress. The good experience for me, outside of having felt like I wasted my time, was they gave me 2 months free. They were like, thank you for letting us help. These were her words. Thank you for letting us help you with your activation. We're going to give you 2 months free. And this, I would say, if she had said, sorry, it took us 5 hours to get you activated. Here is compensation. I would have taken happily. But just to say, like, thanks for letting us activate your phone on our network that you are contracted already to be purchasing, is kind of a waste of money for them.
Sure, but you're also naming the phone on a podcast and saying what they gave to you. So,
I mean, they gave me 2 months free and it was a service provider that I did not say because I don't want to call them out. But the phone, I think different providers would interact with that in a different way. But I will always talk about Samsung Galaxy phones whenever given the opportunity.
Yeah, I'm not seeing the messages where you're talking about them because they're all showing up green.
That's right.
Okay, fair. So your takeaway from this was they were able to make good with you by offering you something?
My takeaway is it's always nice to delight your customer with a freebie. Just make sure that you word it in a way that helps them feel that it's a reward versus like a, I don't know. I think thank you. You know, we've had this conversation so many times in my old job where if you come to the point of sale and you're giving me an extra 20% off where I was already ready to pay the $100, then you're kind of wasting that $20. Mm-hmm. So I would say the same thing happened here. Who's not going to take free money, but probably not the best way to use their money.
Sure. All right, Patty, you're up. What are your good retail experience and your experience that could use some improvement?
So I'm going to start with a challenging one. And over the weekend, we were on Friday night, we go grocery shopping. That's our exciting life.
Sure.
So we're heading to Costco to go do our grocery shopping. And on our way, we stop at a fast food Mexican restaurant. It's like one step up from Taco Bell. We go to the counter, we order, we sit down, we wait and we wait. And then we waited some more. And did I mention we waited? And all that waiting was about 20 minutes, which is a really long time in a fast food restaurant. Mm-hmm. So I go back to the counter and I say, you know, hey, is our food coming up? They had forgotten to put the order in, or the order hadn't gone through, or whatever it was happened. So I said, how much longer? And they said, well, we don't know. And I said, okay, I'm going to wait 10 minutes. 10 minutes comes, 10 minutes goes by, no food. So I go back to the counter, wait my turn again for the third time. And I say, okay, we are going to go. And the people behind the counter are so nice and so lovely. So I'm going to give them high marks for their service.
Mm-hmm.
But then the young lady that was refunding our money, her system, unfortunately, is not set up to give me a printout to show that I was just refunded. So I'm going to give it low marks for the experience. And, you know, this is where you can have that mix of something that, you know, like kind of like what Susie had, something that worked and something that just didn't. So bravo to them on their service. Not so great on the experience. It's clearly a training issue for these people in this store, and they don't exactly understand how to do everything. My positive experience happened at a spa that I went to over the weekend, and my significant other is a triathlete. So we went to the spa, had our services. It was great. So on and so forth. We're checking out and they have this sign there about this new treatment that they're starting and it's for athletes. So I start asking some questions to the receptionist and this is right, not far from where they're going to close, maybe an hour or so from when they're going to close. And she unfortunately doesn't know. So she says, you know, let me have my manager call you. She'll call you on Monday. So on and so forth. And I say, okay, you know, that's fine. You know, it's not a big deal. We're just kind of curious about this. About a half an hour or so later, I get a call from the receptionist and telling me all about this service, which I thought was just outstanding that this person had taken it under their responsibility and said, I'm going to make this fulfill for this customer. So very high marks to them for coming through on that piece right there.
Yeah, the follow through. It's the follow through.
Yeah.
That example is particularly interesting to me because as a young millennial, I don't want a phone call. I'd love information. I don't want a phone call. I'm probably not picking up a phone call, but clearly was the correct response for you and definitely showed that level of follow through.
Yeah.
And you know, I think it's in the end, all of our good and bad experiences are about not catching the customer off guard and delighting them, right? And giving them what they're expecting to get from what you're promising to do. So if you're a retail operation and it's not clear that you're there just for people to surf your phones and then not leave with one, or if you're a fast food restaurant and you have to wait 30 minutes to get your food and even then you didn't get it, you're not delivering on what the expectation is.
I want to just add in on what Susie's saying, because she is spot on 100% right. And it is about a value proposition for the customer. And a big part of that value proposition is the emotion and the attachment that the customer creates to your business, service, product, company, what have you. And it's that feeling that's going to generate for the customer to come back. So I just want to agree with Susie.
Sure. Patty, what did you end up having for dinner on taco night?
We had pizza at Costco and it was quite tasty.
All right.
Oh my God, I've never had pizza there. The hot dog there, though, I would highly recommend.
Oh yeah, it's $1.50 where I live.
The yes, headline about the everywhere. Tacos. That, yeah. Like, there's like an old headline that's like the CEO was like, the founder of Costco was like, if you change the hot dog price and make them more expensive, I will ruin you. Like, that was like the most important thing to Costco.
Well, here's a fun fact. Costco is a customer experience leader in every way, shape, and form you can possibly imagine. And so they have just done an outstanding job with it. And the other neat part is that when you look at what their financial returns have been and what their stock performance has been and the share distribution and so on and so forth, it's all much higher than anybody else. So it's paid off for them.
All right. We'll add Costco to our list of topics as well, although we have covered it. So you can check that out on past episodes. All right. Thank you for talking to me today, Susie.
Thanks. That was so much fun.
And thank you, Patty.
I don't think I've ever laughed so much during a podcast. You guys are great. Thanks for having me.
Patty's latest report on customer experience leadership strategy is available for subscribers now on insiderintelligence.com. So check that out if you're a subscriber. Also, do you like our podcast? Probably because you made it to the end. Leave us a review and give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Just like we were saying before, this is me saying, we have a survey, give us 5 stars. You can also leave your feedback for us there. I will read it, but it really helps other people find the pod. Also, we are on Instagram at behindthenumbers_podcast. If you want a break from a feed of people you haven't spoken to in years going on fancy vacations, you can also see me podcasting. Thank you to our listeners and to Victoria, who edits the podcast. As they say in the customer experience world, a happy Victoria leads to a happy podcast. We'll be back next Wednesday with another episode of Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast made possible by Akinio. And you can tune in tomorrow as Marcus brings you another episode of the Behind the Numbers Daily, an e-marketer podcast.